Well, dear friends, please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, that which was our second scripture reading this morning. Matthew chapter 5, and reading verses 17 and 18. Matthew 5, verses 17 and 18. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. And our subject this morning is Christ and the law. Christ and the law. And we consider these tremendous words before us, these words from the greatest sermon ever preached, and from what used to be at least the most famous, well-known sermon in history, the Sermon on the Mount. This is what we see here in this chapter. And this tremendous sermon covers three chapters in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount. And this is, of course, the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the preaching of our Lord and Savior, preaching in Galilee. And this sermon, well, it contains, just by way of introduction, very core teachings of the Christian faith, things that are very fundamental. It begins, as many of you will know, with the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor, blessed are they that mourn, blessed are the meek, and so on. The Lord's Prayer is included in this sermon. The Lord teaches us how to pray, and gives us the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven, and so on. We know these things very well, but that's in this sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. There are great exhortations to holiness. Christians, followers of Christ, must live holy lives, and we'll think about that this morning. But in this sermon, so many exhortations to put the Lord first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's at the very end of chapter 6, the teaching to put the Lord first. Do we put the Lord first? Let us consider this before we consider our subject this morning. Do we put the Lord first? We find it very difficult to do that, don't we? So many other things take our time. Perhaps we have other priorities in our lives, our jobs, money, bills to pay, other matters pressing in upon us and to attend to. But the promise is this in the Sermon on the Mount. There's a promise: if you put the Lord first, everything else that you worry about, everything else that you need will be added to you, will be provided for you. All these things shall be added. The Lord knows our needs. The Lord will provide. So you can afford to put the Lord first. And in fact, you can't afford not to put the Lord first. That's the teaching of the scripture here, the teaching of the Sermon on the Mount. So it's a very challenging sermon, of course, for all of us. But in this part of the sermon, the Lord is speaking about the law and the prophets. And that's what we read in verse 17. This is the Lord speaking. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Now, my intention is to speak about the law this morning, the moral law in particular. But just to say a few words about this verse in general, this is a very important verse because it helps us understand who the Lord Jesus Christ is. He is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. In other words, he is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. That is really what is being declared here. Those of you who know the Hebrew Old Testament, you will know that it is split into three parts. There is the law, which is called the Torah. There is the prophets, which is called the Nevi'im. And then there's the writings, which is called the Ketuvim. There are three parts to the Hebrew Old Testament. And all together, you have the Tanakh. That's the whole of the Old Testament, because it's Torah, Nevi'im, and Ketuvim. T-N-K, Tanakh, if you put them all together. So that's the whole of the Old Testament. But my point is this. Christ is the fulfillment of the Old Testament, all that the prophets declare in the Old Testament. He has come to fulfill everything that they speak of concerning, the laws given to Israel, regarding all the ancient prophecies, regarding even all the things that were in the tabernacle, all the furniture that was in the tabernacle, the role of the high priest. All of these things that we see in the Old Testament, they are fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. And this is really what is being declared here. So this is a helpful thing to remember, because we understand that the Old and the New Testament, well, they are one book. They are brought together by Christ. So everything that is declared in the Old Testament is fulfilled in the New Testament through Christ. So they are one book. Christ brings them together. If there is no Christ, well, yes, they would be two separate books, but Christ brings them all together. The Bible is one book, one single and perfect book, and it is all because of the Lord. So that is something that we ought to remember when we consider the scriptures and the Bible. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. He fulfills everything that we read of in the Old Testament. But I want to speak about the law. And I have three headings for us in the remainder of our time this morning. Three headings, by the way, that I've borrowed from another preacher. So it's not entirely down to me, although I'm sure this preacher borrowed it from somebody else. Three headings that will help us in our thinking. And my first heading this morning is Christ is the Lawgiver. Our theme this morning is Christ and the law. The first thing we have to consider is Christ is the Lawgiver. Now, the Lord speaks of the law in this sermon. And he is speaking specifically of the moral law of the Old Testament. In other words, the Ten Commandments. Now, many of you will be very familiar with the Ten Commandments, I'm sure. And the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking about the Ten Commandments in this portion that we read, verse 21, for example. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. Well, that is the sixth commandment. The sixth of the Ten Commandments, he is mentioning the moral law. And then in verse 27, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. That's the seventh of the Ten Commandments. So the Lord Jesus Christ, he is speaking of the moral law here, the Ten Commandments. And you will notice that he is speaking with great authority. So in verse 27, for example, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already. So the Lord is speaking with great authority. He's referring to the Ten Commandments, that which God has given. But then he's adding his own comment, as though he has the right to interpret God's law and apply God's law. And people may be thinking to themselves, certainly at the time, who does he think he is? This preacher, this Jesus of Nazareth, this is the Ten Commandments he's talking about. And he seems to be adding, teaching to them. You've heard this from the Old Testament, from the Ten Commandments, but I say unto you, what authority? Who does he think he is? Well, we know who he is. He is God himself. He is, of course, he is the same God who gave the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. Here is the same God, of course. We believe in one God. Yes, within the one Godhead, three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but they are each one, each person, equally God, eternally God. Christ is God. He's the same God who gave the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. And here he is on another mount. You see, there are parallels. God the Father, or God gave the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. Here is Christ on another mountain in the New Testament now, expounding the law. You see, there are parallels here. Christ is the law giver. And this is how we can speak with authority, because he's the one who gave the law. Now, why did God give a law? Let us just develop our thinking. Why did God give a law? Why does he give commandments? This is sometimes what puts people off Christianity. They say Christianity is all about laws and commandments and keeping rules, and they don't like that. They like the other religions. Some of the other religions, they prefer these other ones. You don't have commandments. You don't have to do anything in those other religions. Why does Christianity have 10 commandments? Well, there are many things one could say. Time is running on already, but let me just mention maybe a couple of things. The 10 commandments, well, they teach us something about God himself. They're not just rules. They are teaching us something about God, something very important. They're teaching us about the holiness of God. God is a holy God. God is pure. God is everlasting light. This is what set God apart from all the other idols, all the other regions. They had their own gods, but they were not holy. Some of the gods that they had, they were just as wicked as the men who created them. And even if you think of the gods of Greece and the gods of Rome, they were just like men, wicked and immoral. Our God is different. The God of Israel is holy. And in the Ten Commandments, where we see his holiness, look at his standard. Look how holy it is. Look at how he wants us to live. This speaks to us of the holiness of God. It's such an important thing to remember, the holiness of our God. It also teaches us, well, it teaches us about God's character. When we read the commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness, or thou shalt not lie. Well, what does that teach us about God? It teaches us that God will only ever speak truth to us. If he is giving us a commandment not to lie, well, God must always speak the truth. Always. Not a word of a lie. No deceit in him. It's teaching us about God. The commandments. When we read, thou shalt not steal, for example, what do we learn about God from that? Well, God will not steal anything from us. He gives us things. He does the opposite. He gives us so much. He gives you things that the world cannot give you, cannot even hope to give you. That's what the Lord gives. Not like the world. The world just takes from us. The world takes all our time, all our energy, all our talents, and gives us very little in return. If anything at all, the world just takes, take, take, take. That's what it does, the world. The Lord gives us. The Lord gives us freely. So the commandments, they teach us something about God. They're a revelation of himself. God does not steal from us. He gives us abundantly. All that we need, all that we need is in the Lord, in the gospel, in Christ. So, dear friends, the commandments, they teach us wonderful things. In the law also, well, we are taught about life itself. We're taught about life. And I mean it in this sense. life in all its fullness. Life as it is meant to be is a holy life. And I say this very often. Life that follows these commandments, well, you will have abundant life. Life is not how the world teaches. Life does not involve sin. The world teaches us, of course, that if you really want to live, you have to break the rules. You don't keep rules. If you want to live, well, you can go wild at times. You can let your hair down. Just live a little. Break some rules. That's what the world teaches us. That's what it is to live. That's not what it is to live. Sin, breaking rules, that leads to death. And we'll speak about that again a bit later. But to live truly is to be holy. Imagine if you lived in a world where everybody kept the Ten Commandments, where everyone worshipped the true and living God, where there was no lying, where there was no murder, where there was no violence, no adultery, there was no unfaithfulness, nobody stole from anybody else. Imagine if you lived in that world. Wouldn't that be a perfect life? That would be a perfect life. The Ten Commandments show us what it is to truly live. In this world, life is hard, is difficult, because everyone thinks they know better. Let us depart from the Ten Commandments. Let us live how we want to live. And that is why life is hard and difficult and depressing. Perfect life. If everyone kept these commandments, that would be true life. So these commandments, they teach us a lot of things. They teach us what life should be like. What life should be like. And of course, the teaching of the scriptures is that if anybody was able to keep the commandments of God, well, they would know true life. They would not die. They would have everlasting life. If you could perfectly keep the commandments, you would be right with God and you would dwell forever with Him. That is the teaching of the Bible. But there is a problem, of course. You know these things very well. What is the problem? Nobody can keep these commandments. Nobody can perfectly obey God. Nobody at all. Adam couldn't do it, the first man. He couldn't obey God. He disobeyed God, that commandment that was given to him. And what happened to him? Well, it meant he would die. He wouldn't live. He wouldn't know life in all its fullness. He would die because he sinned. It took life away from him. That's what sin always does. It takes life away from you. So it's not Adam. He couldn't do it. We, of course, cannot obey the law, all the descendants of Adam. The law is too high for us. The law is, the standard is too high. The law, and you will have noticed this from this passage, the law is about more than our actions. It involves our thoughts. It involves our motivations. It involves our heart. This is what the Lord is teaching here. He speaks about thou shalt not kill. And you may well say to yourself, well, I've never killed anybody. But the Lord is saying, if you've thought about it, or if you've been angry against somebody without a cause, you've wished violence on somebody else, then you've broken the commandment. It's not just your actions, it's your thoughts. You see, this is what the law really is. This is how high it is. And then, of course, you've got the teaching on adultery. Verse 27 again. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. That's what the seventh commandment is. And then people will say, well, I've never committed adultery. But then what does the Lord say? Whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. It's not just the action, it's the thought. So dear friends, we're all doomed, every single one of us. This is how high the law is. This is the great standard. So what can we do? No man can keep the law, no woman either. So how can we be right with God? It is by faith in Christ. It's by faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that brings me to my second heading. Christ is the law keeper. So he's the lawgiver, and he is also the law keeper. This heading will be a lot shorter than the first one. But Christ, the law keeper. So the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the only one who has kept the law of God. The only man who has kept the law of God, because, of course, he is the God-man. He is fully God, fully man. It's only God who can keep his own law. Only God can keep his own law. And that's what he did. There were no wicked acts in the life of the Lord Jesus. There were no wicked thoughts. There was no lie, not a single lie uttered by the Lord Jesus. Only that which was true was spoken of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was no sin at all throughout the whole of his life, the entire duration of his life. No sin at all in him. And he did it out of love. This is something that we have to remember. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't live a righteous life just to show that he was righteous and holy. He did it out of love, out of love. This is how the law is fulfilled. It's through love. It's one thing, if I can put it to you in this way, it's one thing to keep the law just because you have to keep the law just because I have to get to heaven. That's one thing. It's an entirely different thing to keep the law out of love, out of sincere love, love for God, love for others. That's something entirely different. Not seeing the law as a chore, oh, I have to do this because the Bible says it. Christ never approached the law like that. Everything he did was out of love, perfect love. You see, this is why we cannot keep the law perfectly, because our love is defective. We cannot love God as we ought. We cannot love others as we ought to. But God can. He can. Christ can. Because he is love. And this is a wonderful thought, isn't it? So if we want to be right with God, we cannot achieve it by ourselves. We cannot achieve it through the law. We must have faith in Christ. We need his righteousness. We don't get to heaven on our own righteousness. This is what the New Testament teaches. When we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, when we believe that he alone is righteous, well, that righteousness becomes ours by faith. That righteousness is given to us. It's imputed to us. It's credited to us. It's as though we are clothed in his righteousness, and that is how God accepts us. This is true Christianity. We cannot do it by ourselves. We trust that Christ is our righteousness, and I believe in him. He has lived that life for me, and that righteousness is what I am now clothed with through faith in him. But that brings me to my third heading. Christ, of course, well, what have we considered so far? Christ is our lawgiver. Christ is the lawkeeper, or the fulfiller of the law, the only one who has fulfilled the law. But he is also the lawbreaker. Now, dear friends, I know what you're thinking. Is this not a great contradiction? I've just said that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one to have fulfilled the law, to have kept the law perfectly. Why am I now saying that the Lord is the lawbreaker? Well, because this is how he was treated. This was how he was treated. First, of course, by the people, by the scribes, the Pharisees, the leading Jews. They were constantly saying, here is a lawbreaker. He breaks the Sabbath laws, for example. He works on the Sabbath. He breaks the law. He's guilty of blasphemy. He's broken the law on blasphemy because he makes himself equal with God. That's how he was treated. He is a lawbreaker. And they wanted him to go to the cross, of course. They wanted him dead, just like a criminal. They wanted him to go to the cross, which, by the way, was the fate reserved for the worst criminal, the worst lawbreaker. That's what the Lord had to endure. Even though Pontius Pilate saw no fault in him because there was no fault in him, he still went to the cross. He was perfect without sin, and yet he was treated like a lawbreaker, like a criminal, and sent to the cross. And dear friends, on the cross, God himself, God the Father, dealt with God the Son as though he were a lawbreaker. He knew no sin. I must stress this. Christ himself knew no sin. But on the cross, God dealt with him as though he were a lawbreaker. All of our sins, all of the sins we have committed, were placed upon him, and he suffered the punishment as though he were the lawbreaker. He was not guilty of any of them. But that's how the Lord dealt with him. He was punished in our place, our substitute, our scapegoat. So, dear friends, this is what I mean when I say he was the lawbreaker. This is how he fulfilled the law. He bore the punishment of it. A law is not fulfilled if there is no justice. A law is worthless if there is no punishment when it is broken. And we have broken the law millions of times. There must be a punishment. It was laid upon him. He fulfilled the punishment, the justice of the law for us. Dear friends, this is what he has done. And he did it out of love for his people, so that we may live, so that there would be no condemnation for us, so that we may be forgiven, so that we may not die, so that we may have everlasting life, faith in Christ, that he is our righteousness, and that he has died for us. He has fulfilled the law. And so these are presented to us, these wonderful lessons presented to us just in this portion of the Sermon on the Mount. Now, one last thing to mention. Time is almost up. One point perhaps to address. Does a Christian still have to obey the law of God? If Christ is our righteousness, if it's only him who has fulfilled the righteousness of the law, does that mean that I can just do whatever I want? I don't have to obey the law of God any longer. No, it doesn't mean that. Yes, we are saved by faith in Christ, but a true Christian who truly knows the Lord, he will want to obey the law. He will want to obey the law because he loves God. He loves God. He knows what Christ has done. He knows that Christ died for his sin. He knows that Christ did it out of love for him. Christ died for me. I'm such a sinner. But the sinless one, the sinless Christ, he took my place because he loved me. And our hearts are stirred with love. Now I will obey him. This is how I show my love for God. How do we show our love for God? By just doing whatever we want? No. We show how much we love God by obeying his commandments. So this is how we fulfill the law. We don't fulfill the law because, well, we have to do this to get to heaven. No. We're already in heaven through Christ. And now we do it out of love for him. This is how we express our love. We obey the law of God. We're not saved by it, but it is the expression of our love for him. And that is the right teaching. Christ has died for us. He's died for sin. He suffered so much for my sin. How can I continue in my sin? I can't. I love Christ too much for that. I will repent. I will have faith. I will keep his commandments gladly, willingly, out of love. So this is what it is. Christ and the law. Christ is the lawgiver. He is God himself. He is the lawkeeper, the only one who has fulfilled the law. He is the lawbreaker, the scapegoat, our substitute, taking the punishment for our sins upon himself. But he is the God of love. Never forget that. He has fulfilled the law out of love for his people. And you can know that love through faith in him. Dear friends, he is our only hope. If we stand before God without Christ, with our sins still upon us, dear friends, we are lost. Trust in Christ Jesus. He has borne our sins away, the only one who has done this, because he is the only one who has loved us perfectly. This is the teaching of the Word of God. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. May the Lord bless the teaching of his Word to each and every one of us.